That's why you gotta kill the shit, you going crazy.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Earth Mac, the mad scientist. Had to come back. I had to start it over. Because for some reason something funky happened. Where it just gave me some weird numbers or whatever the case may be. B-Seats, what's going on? What's happening? Thanos Rick, what is the deal? Bro Ham?
Nothing much. Can you hear me, man?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Cool.
Yeah, I can hear you clearly.
Cool. But good morning,
man. Look, it's Tuesday. I hope you guys had an awesome Monday. You know how we feel about Mondays. We make Monday our bitch. Now, yes, BCs, you do see an Apex Legends in the tagline. We got some Apex Legends news for you, bro. We got some news for you for the Apex Legends fandom out there. But Thanos Rick, what's been going on with you, bro?
Nothing much, man. I caught the Eternals trailer.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Must say, I am oddly excited.
That is the best description of how I feel about this trailer.
And when I mean oddly, you know, it. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really know much about the Eternals. I did some backup reading on it, some research. And, you know, it kind of got me like Guardians of the Galaxy. Because with Guardians, I didn't know who the hell they were either. But
right.
Knowing Marvel, I think Marvel is going to home run this one. I think that it was a good trailer. I think it's going to be a good movie. And I am oddly excited to see how they do this. And hopefully, I hope they connect Thanos with the Eternals and the Deviants and all that history. I hope that they explain it. Because when I was doing my research, I was oddly interested. You know, so we'll see, man. But other than that, I'm good, man. Life's great.
Like, looking at this Eternals trailer, man, yes, I am oddly interested because I know little about the Eternals. All I know is that they're immortal. They do roam the Earth. They have roamed the Earth for quite some time. Apparently, judging from the trailer, they've been around for 7,000 or so years. And they was around when Thanos showed up and he wiped half the planet. They was there with the Avengers was there because they made a reference to Tony and Steve. Now since Iron Man and Steve Rogers are not here, what are we going to do? You know, or who's going to lead the Avengers, basically? And they kind of like made a joke about it. So it's kind of like they're observing what's going on because they were made by the Celestials. That part I do know.
Yes. Yes.
So
the Celestials created the Eternals and the Deviants, which Thanos is a Deviant, which is pretty much like a lower level of, I guess, on the totem pole in that,
yes.
in that bracket. So just a quick story there, but...
Yep.
I mean, these guys are powerful in their own right. So, you know, I'm excited, man. I just hope they, you know, connect Guardians with Thanos with the Eternals, which I don't think they will, because that'll probably take focus off the Eternals. But that's just wishful thinking. You know, I just, you know, there's just so much story to be told. You know what I'm saying? And if I'm not mistaken, Galactus is a Celestial, right?
I'm not sure. I want to say yes. I have to research that before I put any information out. I definitely have to research that.
Because when Fantastic Four drops, then I want to see how that ties in. Like, it's I don't know, man. My mouth waters. It waters.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the starts to Phase 4, man. I'm very curious. Like, is this going to be the introduction of the mutants? Or what kind of situation would this play? What kind of situation will play out? So I am thoroughly curious about it. I will sit and watch it. I will go to theaters and actually watch this. So we'll see. We'll see what's up with this Eternals trailer, man. Let's see if we're going to get more. Because this is the first trailer. So obviously there's going to be a second one somewhere.
Yes.
Somewhere down the line. Well, at least we got that.
And Angelina Jolie looks badass, I have to say. So, you know, she's kicking ass in the trailer. If you guys haven't checked it out, please go on the YouTube, Marvel Entertainment YouTube, and check it out. I don't know, man. I'm excited, bro. I'm excited.
I am too.
Let's go.
I am too, bro. I am too. But, man, check it. We got some PlayStation news out here for the peoples out here. So, for the PlayStation 4 players, you know, I gotta, you know, check it out. Here's what we got. So, Virtua Fighter is getting a brand new remake, marking a return to the spotlight for the classic fighting video game series after a decade-long absence. While it's not quite a shadow drop, it will nevertheless be out very soon. We talking next week, very soon. And Sega announced today that Virtua Fighter 5 Ultimate Showdown will be a PlayStation 4 console exclusive. It will include updated graphics, built-in brand new engine, as well as new online features, with development being led by an all-star team from Sega, AM2, and RGG. That's Ryo Gotoku. I'm sorry. It is being developed as part of Sega's 60th anniversary project and first released to arcade back in 1993. Virtua Fighter is pioneering 3D fighting game series. While it's been eclipsed in popularity by Tekken, its contemporary rival, it retains the devoted fan base in some fighting game circles. So it said that Virtua Fighter 5, which was first released on PS3 and Xbox 360 in 2007, it is most recent entry in the series. While the fundamental gameplay and combat will remain the same, the graphics are being rebuilt from scratch, and it will include new background music for every stage, new user interface, new opening cinematic, and new lighting and shaders. In addition to updated graphics and background music, it will allow players to spectate online matches in real time and will also include the ability to build Robin-style online tournaments. The private and public lobby system will support up to 16 players and will include new communication tools like stamps. And we gave the original Virtua Fighter 5 a positive review at the time, praising it for having the most intuitive and robust fighting systems ever assembled. We were also fond of its customization options and quest mode. It later received downloadable revision entitled Virtua Fighter 5 Final Showdown, and it is set to release on June the 1st. Yeah. So, we got some things coming here, man. And there's a high chance I will be streaming Virtua Fighter 5 on PlayStation 4. I might have to just make that move for PlayStation 4 just for a minute from the PC side of streaming. So I might have to do that. I'm not going to lie to you, Thanos Rick. Virtua Fighter 5 is probably one of the most technical 3D fighters I have ever played. Damn near more technical than Tekken, almost. To be honest. And that'll be 100% real, man. That's 100% real. And so it's a PS4 exclusive. It's a PS4 exclusive, man. I see you got some back and forth with BCs here. Say they're finally giving up the console war. The console war will never end. It probably will end, man, because I see cross-platforms. Wait. So BCs, you got the Virtual Fighter 1 arcade game? That's awesome. That is awesome. Thanos Rick, you there?
I'm here, E. I have one question.
What's up?
Who asked for this game?
We fighting game enthusiasts asked for this game. Like you really think nobody's gonna play Virtual Fighter 5 and it's part of the anniversary of Sega? If you're gonna have the anniversary of Sega, Virtual Fighter is definitely in there. That's a Sega fighting title. I mean,
you know, I never cared for Virtual Fighter, bro. I never cared for it.
Why is that?
I thought it was trash. Even then, I thought it was trash.
Why you thought it was trash?
I didn't like the gameplay. The graphics looked terrible. I didn't care for the characters. I'm like, what is happening? The music sucked. The levels sucked. You know.
Wait. So wasn't Virtual Fighter one of the first 3D fighters? Like, it came out on Sega. Like, it was a 3D fighting game back then. It was really the staple for all other 3D fighting games. Tekken, Battle Arena Toshinden.
Tekken was a huge improvement when it comes to 3D fighting. I don't think anyone can debate that. I don't think anyone can.
Yeah, BC's right. It literally started 3D fighting gaming. Like, it literally gave the idea that you can put two fighters in a 3D plane and have them move around.
Okay, well, BC's E, good for you. But Because, I mean, even back then, I couldn't get off my 2D. I was heavy in the Street Fighter. I was like, you know, Virtual Fighter came out. I was like, I'm not really digging it. But then here comes Tekken. Tekken did it for me. Virtual Fighter, I'm just not. But hey, if they can make it better, and what'd you say, E? They got new background music, new gameplay, new
stage, round robin tournaments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I would have to believe it when I see it.
So but, I mean,
as of now, I'm not a believer. I'm not.
I'm not a believer. But BC is right. He's like, that area is my favorite because you have Virtual Fighter, Virtual Cop, which I had that on Dreamcast, actually, on Virtual Racing. Like, they were the pioneers when 3D was a thing. They became a thing. They made it a thing. And now I will admit to you, I will say this. Tekken did grab my attention, especially Tekken 2, Tekken 3. And I stopped there, then DOA, Soul Calibur, that all grabbed my attention. Battle Arena Toshinden try to get into the mix, but it didn't last as long. I think it was Battle Arena Toshinden 1, 2, and 3. Maybe it was a 4. I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
Right. So it didn't last as long, and it became oversaturated with 3D fighters. So, I mean, your top three probably, honestly, was Tekken, Dead or Alive, and Soul Calibur. Now, I will say this, though. As far as technicality, as far as doing certain movesets, Virtual Fighter is probably the most technical, honestly. You know, you couldn't just go in there just button mash. And I think that's why people was possibly turned off from it, because you had to be a veteran. You know, to certain levels, you had to be, like, intermediate. Like, as a beginner, yeah, it probably wouldn't appeal. But if you like a fighting game enthusiast, Virtual Fighter is probably like one of the ones that kind of like make you work for certain movesets and stuff like that. And it make you have a sense of accomplishment. So I'm excited about it. I might pick up Virtual Fighter 5 Final Showdown. I did have PlayStation Now, so I did play it like maybe 2 years ago. That's the last time I actually played it. So it's 8. Now, if you're going to go have crazy ass characters fighting, Killer Instinct was shit. Yeah, it was. I mean, I know some of you guys actually played the remake or the updated Killer Instinct. Have you played that, Thanos Rick?
I saw some YouTube stuff on it. I haven't played it or whatever.
Okay.
It doesn't look terrible, you know.
Yeah. It's legit.
But I think Killer Instinct over time, because I think it was Killer Instinct either 1 or 2. I think after that, it just got bad, I think, in my personal opinion. After, I think, 2, after the sequel.
Wait a minute, there was a sequel for Killer Instinct? Because the only Killer Instinct I remember is Super Nintendo one. I think that was it.
I'm pretty sure I played the Killer. Unless I'm off.
I mean, there was a game that has similar graphics, like Primal Rage. Yeah, Killer Instinct Gold on N64. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But that was like, what, 95, 96?
Yeah, give or take.
Yeah.
Well, hold on now. I think PlayStation came out in 99? No. I think that was Dreamcast. That was Dreamcast that came out in 99. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, I think after two, it was like, I don't know. So.
Yeah. So BC says PS1 came out in 96, I think. Yeah. Yeah, it's like pushing it up, but it feels like these systems were like ahead of its time. I mean, Sega cranked out as much power as they possibly could to put in Virtual Fighter, because I have it on the Genesis Classic. I was like, dang, man, they really had this on the Sega Genesis? That is wild. I mean, but of course they had Vector Man on there too, so Vector Man was cranking out some power, as well as Final Fantasy VI for Super Nintendo. Like, it pushed Super Nintendo to the brink of of graphical power, but we'll see. But check it. We got some Apex Legends news out there for the listeners, you know, especially from a boy out here, Ultra BCs. So, an Apex Legends update has introduced penalties for those who leave the new 3v3 arenas game mode. A tweet from Respawn Entertainment account revealed players will now incur a 10-minute lockout penalty if they abandon an arena's game. Players will be warned about abandonment penalty before they leave, and it only applies if the leaver is in full squad when they depart the game. Players who are unfortunate enough to be partied up with abandoning player would not be punished for abandoning the game after them. Players have been requesting this feature since the introduction of arenas mode, with this post from Reddit from user AZJ4T explaining why it's such an important introduction in arenas mode. My enemies always disconnect when I win the first round, and then there's only one or two persons left in their team. That just feels really unfair. The post reads, other players like Zombrains echo the same sentiments at the start of the month. The second you lose one round, you're now doing a 1v3. Now, there hasn't been one game that my teammates stayed in the game after we lost the round. The post reads, other updates to arenas include a fix for the exploit that allows users to unlock upgrades without having the material to do so, as well as various bugs and errors. So basically, if you're playing online on Apex Legends, if you just leave, you know how you just get paired up with randoms online versus like your friends because you're just the only one playing at the time? If you just abruptly leave, you're going to get penalized. And that is great. That is freaking awesome. I cannot stand that. Like, when you play games like Call of Duty, when you play games like Battlefield, which you're going to touch on that, Apex Legends, we do have people that leave. If you're playing team deathmatch and stuff like that, people do leave. People leave your team. If you get dominated, hey, man, take your L's like a man. Take your L's. Don't run from it. Don't run from the ass whoop. Everybody catches the L at some point.
Know that they're leaving because they're losing. Maybe they gotta feed the baby. You don't know.
They ain't gotta feed no baby.
You know, maybe gotta answer the phone. I don't know. You know, they gotta cut the grass or feed their sick grandparents. Who
at
knows?
10 o'clock at night?
Hey.
You gotta cut the grass at 10 o'clock at night, 10 p.m.
Hey. I'm just saying. I don't know.
Put it like this. I have friends that have like newborns. They literally babysit their kid while they playing the game. They rock their baby to sleep. The baby is talking to them. They play with the baby. They multitask. It is a talent. I'm like, how are you even doing this? But they are doing it. Their baby is just fine. It's like sleeping, feeding them. Like, hold on, I gotta feed the baby real quick. That's it. Like in between rounds, I gotta feed the baby real quick. Go feed the baby real quick. Put them back right in front of them. Got a close eye on them as they're playing the game. It's crazy. It's crazy.
You know how long it takes to feed a baby. I mean, come on. It's not that quick.
It's not that quick, but apparently they have perfected this thing. Like, I think what's going on is that when they play the game for good time management, they already got the food prepared. Uh-huh. So when the baby is hungry, in between rounds, like, hold on, I got to feed the baby real quick. Boom. And it's an infant, so it's a bottle, basically. So, you know.
All I'm saying, let's not judge those who leave. That's all I'm trying to say. You know,
I judge them. And here's why I judge them. Here's why I judge them. Because you know, Warzone. Here's another one. Warzone. If you're playing Warzone on Call of Duty, you can have a team of 1, 2, 3, or 4. Right? And you paired up with some randoms. Next thing you know it, like, somebody takes the L, somebody gets shot down, right? Then the next thing you know it, your other dude just leaves. Just leaves. Just say, this a white. They just leaves your team. Now you're down to 3 people. So, and this happens a lot. I seen on team deathmatch where the team is getting dominated and, like, my team may be getting dominated or whatever the case may be. They just leave. Now I'm out here fighting, like an extra person on top of the person I am fighting. So it's crazy. People do that on purpose. Some people do it for the most part. I'm going to just leave this dude. I'm going to just leave him. That's trash.
That's so trash.
But hey, to each his own, man. To each his own. So,
well, I'm glad to hear you're happy about this Apex change.
I am.
Because it seems like every time someone leaves you, you get your ass kicked. So I'm glad that.
I mean, everybody does. Everybody get their ass kicked. Like, you leave, you a man down. So what you going to do? How you going to survive? I mean, you can survive, honestly. You can one man kill some things now. I mean, it is definitely possible. It's improbable, but it's definitely possible for you to actually do it. You got to split the team up somehow or whatever. But usually in Battle Royale games, people travel in packs, usually. Or you might have a dude hang back while the other two or three go in a group. That way you can, like, flank somebody. But, you know. But it's a fun game, though. Apex Legends is definitely a fun game. Now, another thing about first-person shooters. We got some Battlefield 6 information here. Battlefield 6, due to be officially announced in June, is leaking like an upside-down dreadnought. A number of leaks have appeared throughout the internet, supposedly showing off numerous vague looks at what we can expect from the next large-scale first-person shooter franchise entry. Back in early May, Twitter user Tom Henderson, known for reliably leaking multiple bits of Battlefield information in the past, confirmed 2 leaked images were from Battlefield 6. One image features an aerial shot of a large rocket ship launch pad, while the other features a classically immense map of an island populated with several large buildings as it's worn by VTOLs. I'm not going to retweet or share for obvious reasons, but yes, the 2 hashtag Battlefield images have been leaked in the past hour, all real, Henderson wrote. I'm not sure why the leaker has decided to capture the exact same shots, although the heli shot is a few frames out, but the screen grabs where likely captured or via Zoom or something like that, which explains the low quality. So we're not long away now. So it looks as though Battlefield 6 will have a near future theme, eschewing the previous World War 1 and 2 motifs and returning to something more resembling Battlefield 3 or 4. That's what it's looking like.
Okay.
So here's how I feel. Battlefield 1 and Battlefield 5. Okay, I'm not even going to lie. I really did enjoy Battlefield 1. I really did. Like, going in the trenches, World War II style deal. I really did dig that. I really dig that atmosphere or whatever. Conquest. But it fell by the wayside because the World War 1 and 2 motifs for any first-person shooter, whether it's Call of Duty or Battlefield, is ran down. You ran that into the ground. Like, we don't need to see that anymore. We don't need to see that anymore. To me, the best Battlefield game I have ever played is Bad Company 2.
I agree.
Like, yeah, that is my jam, bro. I know you played it. Like, the minute that I played Bad Company 2, I shitted on Call of Duty for years after that. For years. Because Call of Duty wasn't touching Battlefield. As far as what you could do, you know, well, here's what I mean by that. Because I know the success of Call of Duty, because it revamped some things.
Uh-huh.
I can run into a building in Call of Duty, and I can throw a grenade at this building. The building won't go down. It's no destruction, right? But in Battlefield, I can run into a building, and someone can see for that joint and bring the whole building down, and it can land on top of you. You can die from debris. And it's more realistic. Call of Duty is more like arcade style in a way. But I know for a fact that with Modern Warfare and Cold War, it's more Battlefield like. If you look at the graphics of it, they know for a fact they took a page out of Battlefield's book and put their own Call of Duty spin on it. And for that, Call of Duty got the upper hand, in my opinion. And that will prompt me to get Call of Duty and play Call of Duty religiously. But if Battlefield 6 comes out and it's looking like this, I might have to make that switch again. What you think, Rick Ross?
Well, I agree with you as far as the realism. Depending on the type of fan you are, I mean, some people care about how real the game is. Other people don't. I mean, it just depends on your preference. I mean, Call of Duty's fun. I don't really notice, you know what I'm saying? Well, if I blow up this whatever, then, like, I guess it just depends, bro, on what your preference is. I mean, Battlefield is more realistic, and I think more diehard fans would appreciate it versus Call of Duty. Like you said, it's more, you know, arcade. I mean, it just depends. I mean, me personally, I would prefer the realism, but that's just me. That's just me. I mean, I don't really have a response on it. It just depends on what you want, what you like, you know?
Right.
I still like Call of Duty. Because I played more Call of Duty than I have Battlefield. I mean, I don't know. You know,
naturally, when
I was in, you know, Afghanistan, when we were over there, we played Call of Duty. Modern Warfare 3. Like, all the time. I don't know why. It was just, I don't know. You know, that's what we were on. So I'm more used to Call of Duty. I like Battlefield, but I'm more used to Call of Duty. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
With gameplay, it really depends on what you prefer. You know, I don't know. I'm cool with it. I'm happy with it either way.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense because, I mean, ideally, Call of Duty gained more popularity because of what it does. I mean, there's a lot of advertising backing behind Call of Duty. That is for sure. You know, sometimes you have celebrities in the commercials and stuff like that. So it's heavily advertised to the point like, oh, snap, let me get this game or whatever. So the popularity has increased. Now, it decreased when they try to do the space crap like Halo. I'm like, what are you doing? Now, this is trash.
It wasn't that bad,
but man, it wasn't better.
That was Advanced Warfare, what, 2?
Yeah, Advanced Warfare 2. I think it was Infinite Warfare or something like that. Yeah. Like, you can walk on walls and crap like that. It's like, I don't know, man. I really don't. Like, what's going on, Rekka? But I say that what got me back into, I played Black Ops, where everybody had classes and stuff, right? And I really did Black Ops. It still felt arcadey. It still looked arcadey. And then I picked up Modern Warfare. And I was like, oh, snap, man. This is legit. This is pretty decent. This is pretty good. And I've been back and forth again Cold War. I was really back and forth on that. I do like the 80s theme that they have now. Have you checked it out?
I have, actually. I dig it.
I really do like that atmosphere. I really do like that. The 80s music. I hope they keep that. Honestly, I really hope they keep that. Like, it revitalized my interest back in Call of Duty, obviously. Because it's been a few months since I played it, but then I saw the John McClane Rambo deal. I was like, oh, I might get Cold War, but I don't want to get Cold War just because of them two, because I know me well enough to say, when I get this game, I might put it down. You know what I'm saying? But we'll see.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think you'll enjoy it. I think you should get it, man.
I was thinking about getting NBA 2K21.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
I thought about it, man. Listen, lately, okay, so I know you missed it, Doug, but to the geek corner out there, we played, it was Shoot 'em Up Saturday, and there's a genre of video games like arcade style. It's called Shoot 'em Ups, where you can play games like Striker, 1945, you know, G Darius, and stuff like that. These are like, you know, airplane shooters, arcade style, and for Shoot 'em Up Saturday, I played Striker 1945. And I also played In the Hunt. You may not know this, Thanos Rick. I didn't know this. You might have. Did you know there was a submarine shooter on PlayStation 1?
A submarine? What's it called?
Yeah, it's called In the Hunt. It's called In the Hunt. You was literally shooting off torpedoes and dropping depth charges and shooting. And if you got to the surface, it's 2D, right? But if you got, and it's a side-scroller shooter. So if you get to the surface, you can actually shoot missiles or rockets in the air to shoot down helicopters that's in the air that's dropping bombs in the water. It was fun.
This was for the first PlayStation?
It is. It is.
Huh. I've never
Crazy.
Heard of that.
Me neither. I'm like, how this thing flew? But, you know, PlayStation 1 hasn't really been known to for shoot 'em ups. You know, Dreamcast has been known for shoot 'em ups. So it's like, well, I played it on Saturday. If you missed the stream on Saturday, go ahead and check out our Twitch stream. All you have to do is go to www.twitch.tv/OrangePhoenixTV. Give us a follow, like, subscribe to our channel, because I will be streaming tonight. And we're still going to be going to some retro goodness, all right, for 7 p.m. But yeah, that it was a good time, man. Striker 1945 is very challenging, especially at the end. Especially at the end.
Now I have to check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely check it out. And also what you guys need to check out is our magazine. Go ahead and subscribe to our magazine, Orange Phoenix Magazine. All you have to do is go to www.patreon.com/Orange Phoenix. We got a new issue coming out next week. Next week for June. And it's a doozy. It's a doozy. I can't wait. And BC said, let me know when you want to get on Apex and cold stream. Hey, man. Awesome. I do not have Apex Legends on my PC. I may have to get it. And also, if you want to join our Facebook group page, our Facebook community, Orange Phoenix Geek Corner, to hang out with like-minded people like us, all you have to do is type in Orange Phoenix Geek Corner on Facebook. Or follow us on Instagram at Orange Phoenix Media. Click on the link in our bio and it will take you straight to our Facebook group page. We do have movie nights, and the two movies for the month of June is Angels in the Outfield and Purple Rain. Purple Wheel.
Purple Rain.
Purple Rain. Yeah. Okay. I didn't put that movie on the wheel. Detroit Blue did.
I'm sure she would enjoy that very much.
I'm pretty sure, yes. Yes, I'm excited for her. I'm excited for her. Oh my gosh. Okay. And BC says that the Rizzo getting destroyed here. I've never seen Purple Rain. I'm kind of pumped. We can't rake you through the coals, BC. Can't rake you through the coals, man. Close to the end of June, we definitely gonna watch Purple Rain.
You know, I recently met someone who's never seen Vampire in Brooklyn. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
What kind of... All right. I guess.
For all my Wes Craven fans, you know, Eddie Murphy was the vampire. You know what? Maybe we should add that to the wheel.
Vampire in Brooklyn?
Vampire in Brooklyn.
Not a bad addition. But dang, man, never seen Vampire in Brooklyn, man. That's crazy. Matter of fact, I have two different wheels. I know with another set of friends. We actually did watch Vampire in Brooklyn. Okay. I think that was in October. Yeah, okay. I think that was in October sometime. Yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy. Never seen Vampire in Brooklyn, man. That's like, that movie was funny. The movie was hilarious.
It's amazing how many movies people haven't seen. I don't know. I thought people saw all this, but I was wrong.
Nah. Not. Yeah. I mean, oh, speaking of new movies, man, listen, if you have not checked out Army of the Dead, that's on Netflix starring Dave Bautista.
How was that?
Bro.
Is it good? I haven't caught it yet. Is it good?
Honestly and truly, it is, in my opinion, possibly one of the best, if not the best zombie movie I've ever seen.
Okay, so it's a movie and not like a season.
Right? It is straight up movie. It's made by Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder, I think he had this script since 2007. He always wanted to do a zombie movie in Vegas. And Netflix say, hey, bro, do what you want to do. Here you go. Here's the reins. Because, you know, Netflix is trying to get Zack Snyder anyway.
Are they?
Yeah, like they're very interested in Zack Snyder, especially after like the Justice League, you know, cut. But and BC says I'm a zombie aficionado. Do I need to get Netflix? Yeah, get it just for that. The movie is 2.5 hours, so it's not your typical zombie movie.
Okay.
It's world building, so it definitely tells you a story. It builds something before it push you into the shit, because honestly and true, it's some people, honestly and true, the thing those there's some people that really don't like the movie. They're like, oh well, it took too long, da, 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 da. Some people don't have patience. I was like, do you really want this movie to be like any other zombie movie that you have seen? Because typically what do you see in zombie movies? You know, there's an outbreak, you got some survivors, they fight zombies, and the survivors dwindle down to maybe 2 or 3 people, and then that's the end of the movie, right? That's pretty much the premise.
Yeah.
So, with, and Ving Rhames, you know, like, Zack Snyder actually did Dawn of the Dead. Like, he actually, that was his directorial debut, was Dawn of the Dead. And so the premise of the movie is, the outbreak is not all over the world. It's not all over the U.S. It's in one spot. It's in Vegas. And Vegas got quarantined, long story short. And the survivors from Vegas are living their lives, but they, you know, they get Medal of Freedom and blah, 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 blah. So they get this offer. Bautista is the one who gets this offer that, hey, I need you to go back in Vegas because you only got X amount of time, because they're going to nuke Vegas, to go in this vault and get me $200 million out of this casino. You know, as you fight through the zombie horde and you come out, I get the money. You can split whatever money's left with your team or whoever team, how you see fit. Just give me the money. Also, Thanos, Rick, there are 3 different classes of zombie. It ain't your same typical walking zombies. That's one class, but it's 2 others.
Well, let me ask you this before you go proceed.
Yeah.
Not trying to compare the two, but as far as the overall product or whatever, how would you compare it to the Walking Dead?
Overall product.
Like, is it? I know it's different, but
yeah.
Compare the two, because I wasn't really that big into Walking Dead. I was one of those who wasn't really big into it.
Okay.
But Army of the Dead, because I saw the trailer for it, it looked pretty damn good. So I'm trying to, you know, like just comparing the two. Just, you know, how would you compare the two? Like, is it, you know,
compare the two as far as pacing? Army of the Dead has a faster pace.
In general.
Oh yeah, in general. I would give the nod to Army, mainly because of the pacing.
Okay.
Mainly because of the pacing. Yeah, it's more action packed. Like, you know, with Walking Dead, you got just one zombie. You got walkers. They just basically walk around. You got to duck them. you got to do all kinds of things. You know, you can literally walk by them and don't get bit. But in this one, you got three different classes of zombies. You do have those walkers, you do have those runners, and you got the alpha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you say it's a, now Mio starting to say, would you say it's a blend of Dawn of the Dead and World War Z? And you know what? That's a perfect description. That's a perfect description. Yeah. Yeah, it's a perfect description.
Okay.
It's okay. Well thought out. I will say that. And then it, like I said, it's some people that like some people want to trash the movie, but they don't like they want it now. You know what I'm saying? They don't want world building, not realizing that this is not a one-off movie. This is something that he wants to branch off and do other movies. Matter of fact, there's a prequel that's coming to Netflix, anime style, called Army of the Dead Lost Vegas, that gives you the stuff that happened before Vegas turned to shit.
Well, why are they trashing the movie? Is it because of, you know, the movie itself, or because of Zack Snyder?
The movie itself. It's the movie itself. Like, like, you know, it's the patience thing. Like, most of the comments, it all boils down to patience. It was like, nah, well, they did this and did this. They took too long to do this and da 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 da. Not realizing that this it is world building. It is your introduction into the world of Army of the Dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy it, man. I hope you enjoy it, man. Come, if you get a chance to watch it today or at some point, come back to me and let me know what you think about it.
I will, because I mean, I'm done binge watching Teen Wolf, so I have free time.
You got free time. Okay, okay.
What's so funny?
Oh, man.
Why all the laughter?
Oh, man. That's great. That's great. That's great. Hey, one more thing before we get out of here. I'm going to give high praise to the Matt Riddle Xavier Woods match last night. A lot of people are saying that match itself stole the show, and a lot of people are putting their eyes on Xavier Woods. Bully Ray definitely gave high praise to that match, and Xavier Woods did come up short. A lot of people do realize that Riddle and Randy Orton are a somewhat of a uneasy alliance, an uneasy team, not really a heel faction, but Randy has went on record to say he always wanted to work with Matt Riddle, and now that they're together, it's a very interesting dynamic, and it actually shows more of Randy's personality. What's unique about the end of this match is that Riddle used the RKO to win the match. So but the focus honestly is Xavier Woods, you know, despite, because per Bully Ray, is that it may come off as weird, but even though Riddle's more of a newer guy, he is making people look good. Like, he's forcing you to get physical. Like, it wasn't like one of those lack of a better term, entertaining matches, because he's a physical dude. He's an MMA guy. He's a physical guy. So he forces you to lay your stuff in, you know, as Bullet will say it. So Xavier Woods definitely got the spotlight. Like, definitely got the spotlight. So you may see Xavier having a singles title run at some point. We'll see where it goes.
I mean, Xavier should have had that title run a long time ago.
True.
You know, if people are now looking at Xavier Woods, I'm like, well, you guys are late. Xavier Woods has been great. You know, I'm still geeked over that match he had with John Cena. You know,
yeah,
way back, like, that was a great match. Mm-hmm. And I think Cena had it was the open title match, open challenge match for his, I think it was the U.S. title, or it might have been the world.
Yeah.
But Xavier came out and he gave Cena the match. I was like, wow, Xavier, he was giving it to him. So I'm like, well, you know, you're saying that people are watching them now. I'm like, you guys are late. If that's the case.
Yeah.
If that's the case, Big E, Xavier, I mean, these guys can wrestle. But E, what's my issue with Vince and WWE? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You have said it time and time again, bro. You have said it time and time again. I think, honestly, if you're hot, as a wrestler, you can get cooled off to the point that the fan base may not have paid attention to you as much. Now, I don't think, other than the John Cena match that you mentioned, because that match, now that you mentioned that, that is the match I remember distinctly.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That was a great match.
No doubt.
Oh, my Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. It is out of the three, Big E and Kofi. I think Xavier flew under the radar in a way, because Xavier was doing his own thing. You know, he not only was doing part of the New Day, he was doing Up Down Down, still is doing Up Down Down. He has other ventures and stuff like that. He's not one dimensional by any stretch of the imagination. So, I think it is time for him to go on a run. Right now, Apollo Crews is the Intercontinental Champion. He needs to hold that title a little bit longer, considering. But yeah, I think Xavier Woods is going to get pushed at some point. Maybe if they have King of the Ring again, he'd be King of the Ring. That's another nod to him, because I think it's something that he said before, that he always wanted to be King of the Ring. So he made a very strong statement yesterday. He made a very strong claim that if they ever have a King of the Ring, he should be the new one. He should be the new King of the Ring. I'll be down for that. And with that can be your springboard into something else.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Xavier left or got released. I wouldn't be surprised.
Nah. Did you know that New Day as a collective, they got an extension? They got a few years. They like 5 or 6 or something like that. They ain't going nowhere. Okay. Like when AEW came out, there was a good bit of contracts that were coming to a close, and they was working out some deals. And with those deals, Vince like, nah, man, here's this extension, here's this money. I mean, you can't say the New Day has been underutilized. They are the record-holding, longest-reigning tag team champs ever. They beat out Demolition. So they put tag team wrestling to the forefront, where that's a daunting task, especially in Vince's WWE, because he's not really, really big on tag teams. So to say there's a group of guys that brought tag team wrestling to the forefront with them and the Usos and whoever they were going up against, that's a lot of credit for them.
Yeah, but E, it won't be the first time a big superstar left WWE and, you know, came back.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He isn't afraid to let someone go. He's not. He never has been.
Oh, no, like, nah.
You know, Max, I see your question. You know, and me and E, we've had these talks numerous occasions. And, you know, I always tell E, I'm like, you know, Vince, it's gotten to a point to where Vince has had so much talent, it's been so top heavy, he doesn't know how to utilize all of his talent.
Right.
Because you have these group of wrestlers, male and female, that has a legitimate shot to be a champion. But for whatever reason, I don't know if it's Stephanie, I don't know if it's Hunter, I don't know if it's the creative. I don't know. But he never really understood how to utilize.
True that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. And that really pisses me off about Vince. It really pisses me off. You see, they just released the Velveteen Dream, and I'm like, well, okay.
Well, Velveteen Dream had some allegations going up against him for quite some time.
He did. So, you know, I'm not making, you know, excuses for that, but it's like, you know, I don't. Vince isn't afraid to drop people for whatever reason.
But the one person that you cannot drop is Xavier Woods, considering that he is a gamer. He does have Up, Up, Down, Down, which he uses the WWE platform from that standpoint. He got the New Day. Like, he's one of those people that are safe. Like, I can put the New Day in a category with the likes of John Cena and Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins that these are the individuals that are not going to be touched under any circumstances. Like, they're not going to get just let go for no reason. You know, they have to do something bad for them to get fired. But Max also says Nakamura is probably going back to Japan. I would not be shocked if he does. I feel like in certain cases, they underutilize Nakamura. I feel like the feud he had with AJ Styles and how the fan base reacted to the fact that Nakamura picked AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble after the Royal Rumble match, what he should have done is gave them a half an hour, gave them 30 minutes of doing whatever they can do to each other. That would have been a knockdown, drag out classic at WrestleMania. But I feel like I was underwhelmed a little bit. The match was good, but I felt like it was underwhelmed. Like, they put the handcuffs on Nakamura and AJ Styles to wrestle a certain type of match. So I completely understand. We got Master 3278 online. What's going on?
What's up, fellas?
Max, what's up, man?
Not much, man. So I was trying to explain. I was trying to explain my last comment real quick. Okay. So
Max, before you go ahead and go, I'm gonna say one thing to E and you, Max. I'm still not over the way Vince handled Kofi after he lost to Brock Lesnar. I'm still.
Oh yeah, that was wet. That was wet. It was wet. I'm
pissed about that. All right, go ahead, Max. Go ahead.
Oh no, Rob, I'm with you. That was wet because all the other guys, they get a rematch immediately after losing.
Yep.
And then you let him get squashed. Like he didn't do not one flip, nothing. He just got beat up real bad. So I think the problem really is for me that Vince has always had a list of characters that he could like use, like a core list, like Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, The Rock, Austin. So he could always pick from them guys and just create storylines because they were already hot. So it's a twofold problem. The newer guys don't know how to get heat. Let's be honest, they don't. They are more sports entertainers than anything. They don't know how to draw heat. And second, Vince does not know how to create a character that hasn't already been built. Mm. And when he gets one that's already been built, because it's not his creation, he tends to let it just die.
I agree. If it didn't come out of WWE Lab, you got to fight tooth and nail, man. It's only a handful of performers that made a name for themselves outside of WWE, and when they went to WWE, they still made a name for themselves.
Two recent ones. EC3 should have been huge.
Right.
That dude is a straight. Can we curse on here?
Yes.
He's an asshole. He plays an asshole character, one of the best I've seen in years. The spoiled rich snob. He played that well, and they didn't use it. The other one is going to be, what's the guy named? Glorious.
Oh, yeah, Robert Roode.
Bobby Roode.
And then you had his tag team partner in NXT and didn't do nothing with him. Cowboy James Storm. So he left. Like, creative at WWE is terrible right now.
Max,
hey, Vince, if you're listening, hire us.
Max, didn't they drop Andrade too?
Yeah, they fired him. No. Did it? No. He asked for a release, I think. I think that's what happened.
Okay.
I think. They did come to terms. I mean, but he going up against Kenny Omega for the AAA title.
I mean, I like Andrade. I thought he was great. I mean,
yes.
I don't know. I mean, I don't. This pisses me off, man. I don't know how to explain it. He pisses me off.
Yeah.
But whatever. And then freaking isn't Charlotte in the talks again for the belt?
I'm not so sure. I'm not sure if she's gonna be in a feud with Alexa Bliss or whatever the case may be. It's been a couple years since she actually been in a title picture. It's been like two, maybe, if that, like 2 years or so. So I'm thinking that they are keeping her away from that for now. until later on in the month. But Mio 38 asked about Keith Lee. Keith Lee is still with the company. I think they're just waiting on an opportunity to actually use him.
He's leaving.
I don't think he's leaving. Well, I don't know. Now that I thought about it for a second, he did put out like a cryptic type tweet. But as a performer, sometimes you do that on purpose to draw heat. And then next thing you know, boom, you show up on WWE television. Now, he was going somewhere else where he showed up somewhere else. So some people wisely draw heat on themselves. So I don't know what's up, Keith Lee. Keith Lee was hot when he first showed up. Check it. You know what? I'm going to get on my soapbox, just like you got on your soapbox, Thanos Rick. Keith Lee was phenomenal in NXT. He was great in NXT. Great. And then Karrion Kross, you know, beat him. Then he went to the main roster. Man, the only way you can go is up. You know what they did? They changed this dude's music. No, your music was fine. Your music was great. Why would you change it to that whack ass song? Remember, that song was whack. Then, okay, maybe I can get over the song, right? Then you give him some matches with Drew McIntyre or whatever the case may be. And I do understand the adage. When you're hot in NXT, you got to work your way up in the main roster because some people do not watch NXT at all. Some people don't know you as a character. But if you are a true wrestling fan, you do know some of these characters in NXT transition over to the main roster. So I get it. Keith Lee showed up. He pulls the spirit bombs. He wins some matches. He lose some matches here and there. But you know who Keith Lee is just by principle. And the next thing you know, he's gone. Yeah, I know he got injured. I know that much. I know he got injured. But I think they may be figuring out a way to put him back in there. And Mio 38 says the music originally had some copyright issues. So that's why it changed. I got you. No, that makes sense.
I mean, listen, I'm not mad that Roman is carrying the company. I think Roman's a great champion. I know you hate Roman Reigns.
Let me be clear. Let me be clear with Roman Reigns here.
Don't do this.
I hated the fact that they try to push him down our throats to make him the next John Cena in a way, to be the next locker room leader. That part I hated because you tried so many times to make him the top babyface. Like you had The Rock raise his hand at Royal Rumble, still didn't bear no fruit. You had him be Undertaker at a main event at WrestleMania, still didn't bear no fruit. And you've tried to force him down our throats. Now, I did remember distinctly saying way back when that maybe you should make him a heel, and that's your way of catapulting him. He's a heel now. This works for Roman. This works for him. Keep him that way. This is the Roman that I like. I don't like that force-fed babyface Roman Reigns. I like this Roman Reigns. I like the head of the table Roman Reigns. This is the Roman Reigns I want.
Yeah, okay. That's,
yeah.
Okay.
Because this Roman Reigns, I want his ass to get kicked. Like, this Roman Reigns, like, I want to see, like, he just had a championship match against Cesaro. Beat Cesaro. All right? You know, he beat Daniel Bryan and Edge in a fashionable way. Like, he stacked them both on top of each other and pinned both of them. That way, there's no discrepancy as far as you beat this guy, but you didn't pin me. No, I pinned the both of you. That was a perfect finish for Roman Reigns. That was a perfect one. But this, let him hold the title for, you know, a little bit longer. I'm not sure who can dethrone Roman Reigns. I'm not sure who's going to be that person. Maybe Big E. That'll be a good one. Big E at Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, do you think Big E has enough on him to carry that main event match?
Yeah, no doubt. I really do. He's a multi-time Intercontinental Champion. And I feel like Big E do have the chops. He definitely got the personality. He got the athletic ability. And he's a big dude. He's a full package.
Okay.
Full back. Okay. And he's not your one-off guy. Like, I love the fact that Kofi won the title because it was a long time coming. A long time coming. We've waited for this man. This man scratched and clawed his way back. And I know Mustafa Ali got injured, and that's how Kofi got in that spot. But still yet, things happen for a reason. And after he won the title, a lot of people don't realize, now what? Now what you going to do? Now that you are the world champion, what you going to do? He had some championship matches, you know what I'm saying? But I can't say those matches are, like, memorable. Or something that's implanted in my memory.
They should have paired him up with Dolph.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe they should have did a Dolph. They have some classic matches with him, like a three-way deal. You know, with...
That would have been classic.
Right. Or high-profile guys. Like, maybe Brock Lesnar. They haven't beat Brock Lesnar to retain his title. What about that? Seth Rollins? What about that? You know what I'm saying? Like, just had him go through some high-profile guys. It's just that I personally can't recall nothing against Kofi being champion at all. Don't get that twisted. But it was no memorable matches after he won the world title for me.
Well, blame booking.
Yeah, blame I will say that.
I think fans place unwanted hate and blame on the wrestler when that's not really the case.
Creative. You know, creative.
It's Vince. It's Hunter. It's whoever. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I really don't think it's Hunter, though, because Hunter is running NXT like a well-oiled machine.
I still think Hunter has his hands in on the main roster too. I think Hunter has a say so. I could be wrong, but I think he has some say so. All I'm saying is, it's like, you know, Kofi could have worked. Now, was his mic skills the best? No, but then again, neither was Bret Hart, and Bret Hart became one of the biggest champions in the world. You know what I'm saying? At one point, so
yeah,
Kofi could have improved on areas that I've heard fans had, you know, issue with that.
Yeah,
that's fixable. But everything else, nah, man, you can't blame the wrestler. Sometimes it's outside forces, and you know the fans should realize that. So
yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Like, I mean, I think the fans are not crazy. They understand. They understand it's creative. Then they hear podcasts. They hear other interviews from wrestlers saying, yeah, sometimes creative doesn't let you be you. Where I think that's where AEW has the upper hand there, even though there is some level of production, obviously, but the wrestler themselves are responsible for getting themselves over. And Xavier92 says Bruce Pritchard was doing the storylines while Kofi was champion. Makes sense.
Bruce, I have my thoughts on Bruce, but never mind.
I think, like, with AEW, and I may be wrong with it, I think the wrestlers do have more of a grasp, like a lot of grasp on their characters and how they want to move their characters and how they want to talk. That I don't think it's scripted promos. It's like stuff that comes out of them. It's like, oh, this is my character, this is what my character would say in this situation. And they're having fun with it. Like, there's a positive atmosphere, 100% positive atmosphere in the back of that locker room. Everybody is having fun. Everybody is. Like, hell, they do streams together on Twitch. They do streams together. You know, there's an AEW casino game. There's an AEW casino game. Downloaded the joint. Like, they're really having fun with this situation. And I think, and they are willing to work with WWE. They are open for it. That's the thing. They are open for it. They are working with TNA. They're working with New Japan. You know what I'm saying? Because the IWGP US title was defended on AEW Dynamite. John Moxley and Yuji Nagata.
I wouldn't lose hope on that. I think Hunter and Vince and Stephanie, I think they'll come around to that at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really unavoidable when you're the only company not doing that. Like, really? Yeah.
If anything, really? NXT. Do an AEW, NXT, Worlds Collide type of pay-per-view. You know how awesome that will be? Like, how badass that will be? Like, man.
And that's a moneymaker. And I know Vince and that company, they they need that money.
A definite moneymaker. A definite moneymaker. The sky's the limit, man. But yeah, man, I hope you guys enjoy our show today. You have a wonderful Tuesday. Tomorrow is hump day. Be sure to check out our Twitch stream at 7 p.m. Eastern time. All you got to do is www.twitch.tv/OrangePhoenixTV. That's all you got to do. Check out the streams. Follow the stream channel. And we will be back at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning as well. And be sure to check out the magazine. All right? So until next time, y'all. Peace.
Peace. We out.